same.
Father, in all my lifetime, I don't think I've ever asked you for a blizzard. But if you could send us some heavy, wet snow, that would be wonderful. We would receive it gladly. Father, a foot of heavy, wet snow would be good. We ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think my Wyoming friends would probably have me strung up if they seen me praying for snow. Okay. Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? Yeah. When you properly discern the body of Christ in the communion, you'll realize that the communion is one of the greatest expressions of God's love ever. You're going to be looking at the sacrifice of Christ. And that's what he wants you to look at. He wants you to see that sacrifice and receive the blessings that he poured out in this sacrifice. His body was beaten for us and bruised. And his body took stripes. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. His body was pierced. Everywhere he shed his blood, we got redemption in some area of our lives. If you're curious about some of these redemption points, look up the Stations of the Cross and pray those prayers. Just don't pray to Mary, but they have a prayer above that. Pray that. It's wonderful. And then his body was this bread, you look at it, it's slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. That judgment that was meant for us, he took it all. He poured out his life so we could have his. And his body was broken. He said, take, eat. Take this often as you will. This is for your healing, for your well-being. Jesus shed his blood in so many places. And it brought freedom to us in so many areas. Not only has his blood remitted our sins, made us white as wool, but his blood protects us. And it's through his blood that we can go into the presence of God. And it's because of his blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this. I love the taste of masa bread. That is wonderful stuff. Isn't that better? Isn't that so much better than those little white things they used to hand out? Open your Bibles up to Malachi, chapter 3, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to learn from you. As the Holy Spirit is here to teach us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can all open up your word and learn of Jesus, learn who he is and who we are in him. We know that each time we learn more about Jesus and more of him, we get to know him better. we get more freedom because Jesus told us, he said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting times we live in. And you would think that this is like no other time in history. Not exactly. You know, a curious thing about Malachi, he was a prophet. But in his time, in his days, he was a prophet in the days of Nehemiah. And he directed a message of judgment to a people plagued with corrupt priests. Do we have any corrupt priests running around? Wicked practices. Do we have any wicked practices out there in this world? And a false sense of security. These guys had a false sense of security in their privileged relationship with God. Do we see that today? Yeah, it's called sloppy grace. There's people that say, well, I'm born again, so I can, and I'm saved by grace, I can just do whatever I want to do. No, you can't. You are saved by grace, but that doesn't give you a license to be an idiot. He used questions and answers. Malachi probed deeply into the problems of hypocrisy. Do you see any hypocrisy on TV these days? Do you see any hypocrisy in churches these days? How about infidelity? You know, it is a crazy thing. Vegas, and not only Vegas, but these big motels, they said one of their biggest days to sell porn on their TVs was when they had preachers' conventions. How about mixed marriages? Do we have any mixed marriages out there? You know, when Fred and Ted get married, that's a mixed marriage. And we have pastors that promote that. And divorce. You know, it's almost like people flip a coin. You know, when they get married, we'll just flip a coin. If it works, it works. If it don't, it don't. You know, it's just a contract that we sign. We know we go pay $50. Or, you know, in some cases, you borrow $30 so you can get one. But it's not a contract. It is a covenant. It is a covenant, not a contract. It's a covenant. And don't think, you know, the world is getting divorced at a faster rate than the churches. They're on equal footing. They're, you know, they're just almost like, oh, if this one don't work out, just go get a new one. No. No. The covenant needs to be taught. False worship. Is there any false worship going on? Of course there is. There's a group of people saying Jesus was a female just to make themselves feel better. Really? How about arrogance? Yeah, there's some real arrogant people running around out there. Well, the whole nation in Malachi's time had gotten so sinful that the Word of God became a null effect, no longer had any impact in our nation. We can certainly see that in places here. House of Representatives, when somebody said something about God, they started hissing. Hissing like snakes. That's arrogance. Well, God stopped talking to the people of Israel for 400 years after that. But before he did that, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, Malachi said, behold, he was a prophet, remember. He prophesied this, said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. So he was prophesying of a better time. At that particular point in time, things were pretty bad. Almost like it couldn't get worse. But it did. It did. Go over to Luke chapter 2. I read an account one time of how things were in Israel when Jesus showed up. It's not all glorious like we see in the nativity scene. I read an account of a soldier who found out his wife was pregnant, and he wrote her a letter and he said, go ahead and have this kid. If it's a boy, if it's a girl, abort that thing. Get it out of there. And this account literally said, you know, they had these sewage drains that would just go down the streets, you know, and then stuff would go down the street. And they said, you could actually see fetuses going down the streets. This was a country that was run amok. Israel at that time would make Vegas look good today. Vegas is a nasty place. But look here in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Well, verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them, shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, I suppose, man, these guys might have thought maybe the dark couldn't have got any darker. Maybe things can't get any worse. You know, and just some people may have said, well, we have no hope. You know, we have people in this country that are giving up hope. I can't remember the suicide rate that these soldiers are having, that these vets have. It's astonishingly high. And then this COVID thing hit and people started losing their jobs. They started losing their houses. They started losing their families. Drug addiction went up. And they lost hope and their suicide rate went up. They had a false sense of security in the things of the world. You know, regardless whether it's Biden or Trump as your president, Jesus is your Lord. And He's the one that you need to focus on. That's where your peace comes from. Him. It's not from the stock market. It's not from the job market. It's not whether you get rain or not. It's not whether anything goes right in the world or not. Your peace comes from Jesus. Jesus said, on this earth there will be tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He is our peace. He's our peace. Regardless of how anything else goes, Jesus is King and Lord. One time I read the story about a man that lived through the Holocaust. He was a prisoner. I mean, this guy was, he was a Jew. And he was in an internment camp. And you got to know, your days are numbered. And food was sparse. And you got beat on a lot. Things were bad. And they said, how did you stay alive? And he said, I don't care what they take my clothes, they take my wife, they take my kids, they take my food, they take everything I own. They can't take my attitude away. He said, they can't take my attitude. That's how you have a will to live. Your attitude. See, David, he encountered this too. He was anointed. He was anointed to be the king. He had oil poured over his head. He was handpicked by God to be the king of Israel. And he was living in a cave, hiding from the king that was trying to kill him. And David wouldn't lift a hand to this man because he was in a covenant with Jonathan. See, David had a reason. He had a lot of excuses to kill this guy, but he would not because he was in a covenant with Jonathan. So therefore, everything that was dear to Jonathan was protected by David as far as he was concerned. But he was in a cave. And one day he found himself a little bit down. So he started praising God. And he found himself a little bit down and he praised God. You know, one of the psalmists wrote, said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, healeth all your diseases. What's going on there? God was giving instructions. He had told Joshua to meditate on my word day and night. That's what we do. If it's good for him, it's good for us. Meditate on his word day and night. What do you mean? Talk to yourself. Tell your soul. Said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's forgiven all my iniquities. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, did you see people are losing their 401ks? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. In times of trouble, when you're in your cave, how you behave in a cave is how you're going to come out the other side. It's going to determine how you come out the other side. Trouble is going to happen. Trouble is going to happen. I promise you, trouble is going to happen. There's a devil out there. Did you know that? He's still running around out there. And his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. So our job is to not let that happen. Jesus has already defeated him. So how are you going to stop him from wreaking havoc in your life? You're going to have to get your tongue in gear and get it in the right direction. Amen? You have to stop talking about how sick you are. Start talking about how Jesus healed you. You have to stop talking about how poor you are. Start talking about the grace of God on how Jesus has already made you rich. You have to stop talking about how afraid you are and start talking that Jesus is right here with me. He said he would never leave me nor forsake me. Amen? Jesus wants you to trust in him the way a child rests in his father's love. Amen? Childlike faith. Just know that it's going to be okay. Your dad is going to take care of it. He's got it handled. He just needs a little bit of cooperation from you. That doesn't mean that you get up and get your little self busy trying to earn something or do something. I mean, you sit and rest in faith. And thank him for his goodness. Amen? There's a lot of people got this idea of if I don't earn it, I can't have it. Now, I'm not saying that you need to just sit on your tail. You know, when there's work to be done, you need to get some leather gloves on, some boots on, and get out there. And if there's some pastors listening, because there's some pastors that crash a lot of times because they think that they're a pastor. So they should just go and sit on their butt and let the congregation take care of everything they need and want so they won't go to work. And then they fail in ministry and they wonder why. Well, unless you got a congregation big enough to do something like that, you need to get some gloves on and go to work. And while you're out there working, you go out there and minister to those that you encounter. Invite them to church. But look, you're not going to earn anything from God. He's already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 16. You know, there's that old saying, you're better to give than to receive. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't first learn to receive, you're not going to have anything to give. You got to first learn how to receive. You got to receive from God so that you have something to give. Amen? Romans chapter 16, verse 25 says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever." You know, when the gospel stops getting preached, people get confused. And the gospel is this: Jesus Christ and him crucified. We praise God that Jesus was born. You need to praise God even more. He was crucified. Amen. Thank God he came. But praise God that he got on that cross. He got on that cross and he took your place when he did it. So that you could take his place now. And when you got born again, you got placed right there at the right hand of God in the body of Christ. People don't take advantage of this. People don't understand this because the gospel hasn't been preached. Salvation is in his wings. Jesus, our Savior. Salvation. Salvation has to be preached. That means not just born again. It irritates me. I run into people and they'll say something to me and I'll start talking to them, minister to them. And I say, we have faith. I said, praise God, we're getting somewhere. I said, we're going to heaven. I said, I know you're going to heaven. So you use your faith for a whole lot more than just going to heaven. Well, he don't owe me nothing. I know he don't owe you nothing. But he already gave it to you. See, the salvation has not been preached. They haven't learned about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They haven't learned about healing. They haven't learned about prosperity through the cross. Did you know that there is prosperity at the cross? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, and I through his poverty have been made rich. Church people don't like to hear about rich. But Jesus was rich. He was very prosperous. Very prosperous. It's not just money. Prosperity is not just money. Jesus had it within him to meet every need of every man that ever came to him in faith. If they needed healing, he had healing. If they needed deliverance, he had deliverance. If they needed food, he had food. He can multiply a sack lunch enough to feed thousands of people. And when Peter needed some money, he told him to go fishing. How much better could that be? Catch a fish, snag a dollar. Catch a fish. Well, he had enough to pay the taxes for him and Jesus. That's what Jesus is about. Meeting the needs of every single person. Every single need of every single person that comes to him in faith. And now get this. He said, God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, if you take, if I have $100 and you take $10, I have $90. So that means there's only 9 more people that could take $10 from me. But when you go to Jesus and you take $10, it's out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the other 9 people, they're not going to, if they'll be able to get their $10, but the next 100 people, they'll be able to get $10 too. Because out of his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's a never-ending, never-failing source of supply. So if somebody over here gets a healing, you don't have to feel bad that, well, maybe he spent his healing on them and I won't be able to get mine. No! God's not that way. He's completely fills everything. He means it all. See, when you receive from him, you're not just taking something from him, you're receiving him, and actually feeds Jesus. He takes great joy in meeting your needs. Jesus said, It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. What happens is obedience to the faith, not the law or the commandments. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 5. You obey by believing. Romans chapter 1, verse 5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So here we have a contrast. Believing versus working. Speaking versus doing. Grace versus law. Faith versus works. We have too many people out there trying to earn something from God. God said God will not be a debtor to any man. He will not be in debt to any man, ever. You think you're going to earn something from God? Just stop. The Bible tells us when you got born again, you got baptized into the body of Christ. And you actually are seated at the right hand of God. When you're sitting down, you're not working. You're receiving. Jesus sat down, the work was done. He did a completely perfect work. Amen. He did it all. A completely perfect work. Now go to Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend to the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Get it in your mouth. Get it in your mouth so you can get it in your heart. So you can get it back in your mouth. He said to start saying these things. The word is in your mouth. You know, Abraham, remember that dude? He cut a covenant with God. This is a big thing. God came down there and gave Abraham a promise. And told him about this kid and about all these descendants that he was going to have. Well, Abraham, he said, how can I know that this is going to be true? And God said, go get me a heifer and all these different animals and said, cut them in half. And it just sounds like all of a sudden he just kind of changed gears and started talking about something else. But God was giving Abraham something he could sink his teeth into. So I'm going to cut a covenant with you. Cut a covenant with you. A blood covenant. That means, see, in the covenant land, these guys would walk through these pieces and they'd pronounce the blessings. You know, they'd start pronouncing all these blessings. If you follow this covenant, all these blessings are going to happen to you. And it's going to be wonderful stuff. But if you break this covenant, you're going to die a horrible death, man. It is a bad thing. So Abraham, he's going through, he's getting ready, and all of a sudden God lays him off to the side in a deep sleep. Then there's a smoking pot and a furnace going through this thing. It was Jesus walking that covenant walk with God. Because Abraham, if he would have got in that mess and started walking through there, pronouncing these blessings and cursing, Abraham would have been toast. Did you know Abraham, he didn't do everything right? He was in a covenant of grace, but Abraham didn't do everything right. And he was blessed beyond measure. Malachi called and said, blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. But Abraham, he decided he's going to help God out. And he ended up with an Ishmael. How many Ishmaels have we had? We've all had an Ishmael. We decided we'd help God out and ended up with something that we were just stuck with. Didn't want it, but we were stuck with it. Caused us some harm. We've all had Ishmaels in our life. And one time Abraham was in a distant land down in Egypt. And he told everybody, he said, you know, my wife is my sister. She really was his sister, but it was a kind of offhanded way. He didn't man up and just say, this is my wife, because he's afraid he's going to kill him. So he lied about his wife. But God delivered him, got him out of that. And even beyond all these mistakes that Abraham made, God kept blessing him and blessing him and blessing him and blessing him and blessing him, because he was in a covenant of grace. And they got into the covenant of the law at Mount Sinai, where they had to earn their blessings. They had to earn their righteousness. And the end was where we read in Malachi. Malachi had to prophesy to him. He said, you sons of Jacob, God has not consumed you, but it's close. You know, and their life was just tragic. They couldn't keep the law. They couldn't do what the law required to do. And their lives were a mess. But Jesus came down here and he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, let's just look at that. This should be on the forefront of your thinking. When you make a mistake. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 29 says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Too many times, Christians, when they make a mistake, they fear that God is going to do something horrible to them. Sometimes people will make a mistake and they say, well, God gave me this sickness because I did this. You know, I've heard all different kinds of stories, but that's not true. Jesus told us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if it's killing, stealing, or destroying in your life, it's coming from the devil, not God. He came to bless you. The angel said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. God was sending his sacrifice. He got his sacrifice on the earth. They were celebrating. For thousands of years, this had been prophesied. And there he was. Boom. And the things that it took to get him here, astronomical odds. You wouldn't bet on it ever. People would say it was impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And he got his sacrifice down here on this earth. And he changed the world. He changed everything. Don't think that just because a bunch of idiots in Washington, D.C. seem to be running amok and getting away with everything they want to do, don't think that Jesus isn't going to change this whole thing. Remember, Every time there's something bad, it's because there is something good already. And the devil's going to do absolutely everything he can do to try to stop God's program from happening. I had a guy point this out to me the other day. Said, you know why these abortions are so out of control? And I never really thought too deep on this before. And he said, because of the first commandment. I said, huh? He said, not the Ten Commandments. He said, the very first thing that God commanded anybody to do, be fruitful and multiply. So the devil heard him say to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. So he's been trying to make that not happen ever since that happened. Well, look, folks. We have a bright and shining star that we can focus on. There's people looking at stars all the time. They're missing the main one. The one that causes the light. His name is Jesus. Focus on Him. Amen? I'm not saying don't turn the news off. You can go watch the news, see what's going on. You know, but get your focus on Jesus. I like watching, seeing what's going on. I like watching the rat race. I like seeing the next chess move that these guys make. But ultimately, Jesus is Lord. And His kingdom will be established on this earth. Amen. I don't care what any of these guys do. I don't care how things unfold. Eventually, Jesus is going to rapture the church out of the way, then they can go ahead and have their mayhem, and then during the second heaven, the new Jerusalem is going to come out of the heaven, and they're going to sit down on that place. There will be a one world government, and the government is going to rest on His shoulder. There will be a one world church, not 7,000 different denominations, but we're all going to come together in the unity of the faith. And I don't know about this currency deal, but I mean, when you build a city out of gold, I don't know what we're going to need with any greenbacks. Amen. But praise God. Praise God. And you've been made for such a time as this. You weren't born 100 years too late. You weren't supposed to be born in the 1800s. You're supposed to be right here and right now. God designed you for this particular time and place. And He's made the anointing available for you to thrive in this particular environment. Yeah. But He needs you to meditate on His Word. Get it on your heart. Get it on your soul. Get it on your mind. And get it on your tongue. You might be able to make a difference in somebody's life today. Not a change, but a difference. Difference you might not, they might not ever remember you ever again for that meal you bought for them. They might. They probably will. But changes are what lawmakers do. They always want their name attached to this. You know, we see them. We even see them here in town. This is the so-and-so building. This is the so-and-so law. But a difference means you just do it because you can. Jesus did it for you, and you do it for somebody else. He's doing it through you. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us. We thank you for the sacrifice that Christ did for us on that cross. We receive the freedoms of it, the liberty of it. We thank you for it. We praise the cross of Christ, the blood of Jesus. We thank you for everything that he's doing for us now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, the saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have lots of snacks back here and coffee. Everybody's welcome to come back and have some.